Good morning, listeners. Welcome to today's edition of Uncommon Awareness. Welcome to our twice-a-month roundtable. Evolving the Species is a regular offering of Uncommon Awareness that includes my esteemed and brilliant co-hosts, Anne Rosen and Dean Lloyd, and you can learn more about them by visiting my site, drhurley.net, or going to, for Dean, acutone.com, or amlifegame.com. We're really privileged to have here with us tonight Vinnie Eastwood of the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide. Vinnie is based down under in the exquisite land of New Zealand, although he'll tell you it's not much different down in New Zealand than it is here in the United States of America. His program runs worldwide 2 hours a day, and you can check out his site for your time zone. Vinnie is not doing what he does to wake people up. He's doing what he does to give those with a voice for truth the exposure and platform they need. He lets those that should be talking, should be heard, tell their stories so that you, the listener, can for yourself, based, you know, can think for yourself based on real and relevant information. He's on a mission to replace the disgrace of the mainstream media, which our listeners already understand is nothing more than a tool of manipulation and control, with the truth. And then he takes it on with gusto, humor, and by the way, humor is going to be our topic tonight, and no pulled punches. Then he says, frequently, if the mainstream media won't do their job, don't fight. Let's just replace them because they're no longer relevant. You know, you want to go to his site, the vinnieeastwoodshow.com, and listen to what this young man has to say. He's leagues ahead of most of us that have been around for a few decades more than him. So the show is a daily dose of comedy and conspiracy. It's the lighter side of genocide. We have to kind of laugh at what's going on, don't we? He brings top activists, researchers, politicians, journalists, intelligence agents, artists, radio hosts, musicians, editors, and business people out in the open because if we want to understand what is going on in this world, we go to the experts, the ones they don't want you to know about. Hello, Vinny.
Hello. That's probably the best introduction I've ever been given. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
The last introduction I got was from Jack Bud, and he goes, he's got a funny accent. Now, I thought I was funny because of my wits and my cleverness, but it turns out it's just a speech impediment.
No, Vinny. Yeah, that's you know, unfortunately, even the alternative media has some challenges. You're delightful, and your humor is very, very apparent, and I want you to know I'm grateful for you. And I am a good friend of Karen Tostado and Matt Navarro of United We Strike, and Dean and Am are really heavily invested in that. But this is the time in the program when I turn it over to my esteemed colleague, Dean Lloyd.
Vinny, we're going to get to know you a little bit in this hour, and we're prepared for it.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent, because we want your perspective. You're talking to three practitioners, doctors that have a background in looking at people that come to us with problems, physical problems, spiritual problems. They don't know what to do. You have a show that identifies a lot of what the world's problems are facing. I've heard for years how people tend to get mired down by what's the problem. And you've got a talent, you've got an ability to sort out and say, you know what, this is so obviously clear to me how ridiculous it is that nobody else gets to see it. And you'll find that when you do bring it up, you bring up people that are, you know, you say it to them, they may be timid, fearful, in something that you've confronted. You know, you've taken on the action is required position. What I'd like to know for you as a talk show host, but there's something you said in one of the United We Strike programs that got me interested in your perspective in a deeper level, which was how you drew people to you. In other words, you recognized that the police that you were confronting when you were, you know, holding picket signs or making a stink about something, they were people too. You know, it isn't so much an us versus them kind of situation we're in. We have to recognize what tools we have available for communication, and you're making use of them. What I wanted to hear from you is because the last I don't know, maybe it was the last several months, you've made a major growth spurt and what direction that you've taken. So I just wanted to get a little overview of, first, what you started out doing and where you're headed now.
Well, I guess I started out, interestingly enough, listening to Alex Jones, and then I started looking. I was like, is there an Alex Jones of New Zealand? There isn't. So I was like, okay, is there an alternative media of New Zealand that actually goes out and covers these New World Order topics? There isn't. Is there a talk show host in New Zealand, anybody at all, who does 5 days a week and exposes the scumbaggery of the New World Order as it pertains to New Zealand? There isn't. So I decided, not because of a choice, but because of a lack of options, I had to become that person. Because I recognized the fact that Americans were doing the bulk of the fighting against the New World Order on behalf of the world's behalf. You know?
Nice or good at something.
I know. And I didn't think that was really fair to a degree. I mean, I know that there's people everywhere fighting and what have you, but it's kind of like if a tree falls in a forest and nobody's around to hear them, did it really fall? And my philosophy is kind of like, if an activist protests scumbaggery and nobody records it or uploads it to YouTube, did it really happen? And the answer is, in most cases, no, it didn't, because nobody ever heard about it. And the only way it can ever actually have a true effect is if many, many people hear about it. And I see all these activists around me who are protesting things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement, which is the NAFTA or GATT of our time, which will bind the oceanic region into a corporatocracy that we've not yet seen before through this stage of history. None of those protesters really get much of a mention. There was a 1,000 people at the very least marching down the main street of Auckland, and leaders from political parties all across the stripe speaking, and it was on the 6th page of the newspaper with 3 lines describing it. I did 8 videos by myself with 2 camera angles, because I can hold 2 cameras at the same time, because one of my listeners bought me a shoulder-mounted bracket, with wireless microphones and a wireless megaphone as well. So not only was I there chanting and helping the protest actually appear more lively through injecting my voice and making all the protesters laugh and stuff as we're marching, but also recording each and every one of the speakers and publishing their speeches in their entirety to YouTube. Now, nobody else in this entire country, there's 4 million New Zealanders currently living here. There's 5 million total, about 1 million Kiwis live abroad. And not one, with the exception of myself, takes personal responsibility for ensuring that these people who dedicate their lives and give their blood, sweat, and tears to my freedoms, I'm the only one who ensures that their voices get recorded and for posterity, more or less. Because once it's said, it can never be unsaid. And I don't know precisely how to contribute best other than that. The way to contribute to make a positive difference is that you do nice things for good people who can't do those things by themselves. All these activists are researching and everything like that. I'm not a researcher. I can't do that stuff. They can't film themselves. I can. They can't edit themselves. I can. So I do it. It's kind of like you walk into a situation, you analyze it, you figure out what the problem is, you figure out which mechanism in this machine of resistance is missing, and then you slot yourself into that position. And that's more or less what my goal is.
And indeed, you do insert yourself in a variety of different situations. You've made personal stances in your own country on all kinds of on police matters, on the health food or health of food, I should say, how government is handling themselves. One of my favorite words, Vinny, is obvious, and you're exposing what would appear to you to be the obvious.
Yeah. And scumbaggery.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I agree. Yeah.
And I have
good word scumbaggery.
Right, and but it's not our as an informed group of people that you usually will find that there's the direction of the people that are making the protest, they're very loose-ended, or they're not clear on, they may know that there's a bad thing happening, but they're not solution-oriented. In other
they're
words,
they're stirred up, but they're not steady.
And I know that that's an issue that you probably have come across, have you not?
Well, one thing that the New World Order taught me is that they've got their hooks into everything. So if you've got particular problems with, say, activists in the United States who will go out and they'll protest something that's regarding civil liberties or what have you, but they don't mention the New World Order, right? I figure if you want to mention any issue at all today and you don't mention the New World Order, you're not covering the issue, right? Because that's the central thing that actually ties it all together. And this is my belief, that if I am just covering everything that I can, what was my, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Guerrilla media, we cover everything, the mainstream media doesn't, so you can imagine we're quite busy because they don't cover anything.
I hear you.
I'm in total agreement. Dean and Am know this from my background, so I'm just going to interject here and say, I get it. I get the frustration of actually trying to assimilate information when the obvious first cause with everything else in the world being in effect isn't acknowledged. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an enemy. It's what we would refer to as an aim to the absurdity. And in right. other words, things that are paid attention to have really no relevance, or if there's any relevance, it's so remote to our lives. It's pretty, and there's an intent behind that, and which brings us to what are the media matters, which I will bring Am in next segment and get his take on it.
That's right. We're going to break, listeners. I want to thank you for being with us. We really have a privilege of being with Vinnie Eastwood, who's doing down under, who's doing in New Zealand, what Alex Jones. I'm not a big fan of Alex Jones. He doesn't have to be part of this conversation, but we have to admire what Alex accomplishes in terms of information dissemination. And we'll be back in just a few moments. Welcome back. We're going to cruise through this show today. If you missed the first segment, we are here with Vinnie Eastwood of the Vinnie Eastwood show.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide.
Oh, by the way,
yeah,
that's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood as in, go ahead, make my news.
Clint, nice to have you here with us tonight. Oh, boy,
well, thank you. I got a fistful of dollars and a...
And nowhere to go.
Well, what we learned in the first segment, listeners, what we learned in the first segment is that Vinny is inspired by Alex Jones and the influence that Alex Jones has here in the United States and the activism occurring in the United States. Now, I'm not even going to go off on a tangent with that, but I will tell you that he's taken the inspiration to heart. He's creating for himself in New Zealand and around the world an Alex Jones persona. It's Vinny. But he's basically accepted the universe's in his face. This is what you need to do. He's gone on to produce an incredible program. And we were talking, we were going to bring Am in now because Am is our savant. Am is our consciousness expert. Am is our, Am's wonderful. Yeah.
And on Media Matters, that's the question I have for Am. What's the matter with media?
Well, it's a good question, Dean. Let me say that Vinnie embodies that lyrical phrase from Bruce Springsteen's song, speak from the dictaphone and hit them in the funny bone, because that's where they expect it least. And as long as we're... I thought of a few lyrical refrains that might be appropriate for our topic today. So let me quote another one for you from John Lennon. I've been across to the other side. I've shown you everything. I've got nothing to hide. And still you ask me, do I love you? what it is. All I can tell you is it's all showbiz. That's kind of what we're talking about. You show me your biz, I'll show you mine. What is the business of social interaction? And how do we communicate it? Because communication is commerce. And right now, you know, we've gone from smoke signals and tom-toms, some people are still using them, to, in a very short amount of time, telegraph keys pounding out Morse code, to pictures, silent pictures, to radio transmitted over the airways, to television, movies, and now the internet. And the whole idea of communication, it's the meeting place. You may still live in one small area, but our consciousnesses are taken up with what's happening not only around us, but all over the globe. But most people don't know quite what to make out of that. And we're talking about one of the things I thought we'd be talking about today is comedy is a way of, you know, dissecting or breaking down some of the blockages that exist for us. And I'd like to make a distinction to start off with between comedy and, laughter and tears. Tears are a visceral response. They're an emotional response. Whether you're crying for happy or you're crying for sad, it's when you're overwhelmed. Something wells up in you you haven't been able to express. It has a lot to do with actually the metabolic organs, because we keep a lot of tension in them. We don't realize it by not expressing our feelings. So sometimes you got to release that. If it's something terrible, you have to release the sadness. If it's something wonderful, you got to release the joy. But laughter is a whole different response. Laughter is an intellectual response. We laugh when the implications of circumstances are more than we can mentally handle. A simple example of that would be the comic who does a pratfall, walks across the stage and slips on a banana peel. And, you know, he's obviously clowning around. We laugh. But what's involved there is a person who's in danger of hurting themselves, maybe killing themselves, a person who's clumsy, a person who's an object of ridicule. That's something that everybody faces within themselves. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I adequate to deal? And do I get my share? Suppose I'm not. Suppose people come down on me, laugh at me, and I'm isolated and deprived. Well, we don't want to look at that because we don't know what to do with it. So it builds up a kind of a mental tension. So we laugh. Now, when we see politicians, we see people making all kinds of statements. We see behavioral psychologists hired by lobbyists and people that want to get their way across, making all kinds of points. And what they've been trained to do is play off of the unresolved confusions in our psyche.
What they've been trained to do is play off the unresolved, you know, issues of our psyche. Listeners, we're going to be back in just a few moments. We're going to let Anne continue. Really has some profound insights into humor. And you know what Vinnie Eastwood does is he just exemplifies the lighter side of genocide. How can we possibly laugh at it? He does.
Usually through crappy puns.
All right, listeners. We left off with Anne beginning to share his thoughts and his brilliance with what's actually going on in terms of communication, the media, and we're just going to let him take it away.
Well, thank you. And we'll add a few things and we'll jump around. But I was pointing out that the comedy is basically an intellectual response. You cry when you're emotionally overwhelmed, happy or sad. You laugh when the implications of circumstances, you don't know how to ward off the threat they imply. You hear somebody points out, maybe a John Stewart, that the absurdity of another, the media crew on Fox, you know, their bellicose howlings about something, and he shows the absurdity with a series of clips. And you're laughing, but what you're really facing is a society that's out of balance. That people are busy hard scrabbling to make a living, to just get by. They don't have a lot of information. They're being barraged and overwhelmed on purpose. And when you see it, I like to define comedy as the truth told with a sense of timing. And you have to laugh to break the intellectual tension of it. And that's a release. just kicking that around, if we're going to get into media a little bit, another lyric I thought would be appropriate to quote is from a song called Dirty Laundry, Don Henley. We got dirty little secrets, dirty little lies. We've got our fingers in everybody's pie. We love to cut you down to size. We love dirty laundry. We can do the innuendo. We can dance and sing. And when we're done, we haven't told you a thing. We all know that craft is king. Give us dirty laundry. So what we're doing, and what, a lot of I like what Vinny is doing, is he's bringing some of his dirty laundry, which needs to be cleaned out, aired out, and brought into the public's view. The problem is, what do you do with it? Once you recognize that there are a lot of interests that are short-sighted, they have power, but they lack the comprehensive understanding to make things work in the best way. They only know, no matter what they've accumulated or what they seem to have skill in, they really don't know how to handle things psychologically in terms of everybody's best interest. They're still working from the who's got the biggest cudgel approach. And these days, the bank account is the biggest cudgel. And it's good to see these things exposed. And comedy is a beautiful way of doing it. You can cut them down to size with comedy.
And also, in the case of Vinny, in how he's delivering the message, people pick up confidence in the way he does. He's not fear-mongering, because that is a technique. And mentioned, we were talking about a break earlier, how what we want to do is release the grip of fear on people. And I'm sure that Vinny's aware of how he's doing this.
Oh, yeah. My philosophy is, just because you're being exterminated and enslaved by a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery doesn't mean you can't have a few laughs.
Indeed, then you must be aware of your audience and how you tune into them.
Well, my audience, I try to speak to all the time on Facebook, Skype, and email and everything. And it's kind of like, how can I describe this? I would say, arrogantly, if I may, that my audience is usually about twice my age. Between the ages of 40 and 65, about maybe 70% of my audience are about that age, about 30% female. And I would say that they're probably one of the most intelligent, accepting, and moreover, empathetic and humorous audiences in the talk radio sphere that I've ever come across. And you have to be, because my show will chase you away if you're not prepared to have a laugh, if you're not prepared to listen to things that sound crazy, and if you're not prepared to suffer the emotional trauma of knowing for real what these activists actually go through.
I'm glad that you brought up that emotional trauma piece, because it takes a lot of energy to put up, first of all, what is it that is an appropriate yell back or a call to a heinous crime? You know, how is it appropriately positioning, you know, either a group of people or even doing it on the radio show? How do you effectively get the solution out there? What is the way of directing what the problem is into a state of where you have some ability to make something change or do something about it? And you know as well as we do is that it always comes where change is immediate. It comes from the inside out. It's not going to ever, you know, it never comes from the outside in. There may be weather changes. We were talking also about how, you know, that weather's changing so abruptly right at this time, that there's bound to be radical shifts in the way that we are living. And whether it be where the food comes from, where the floodings are, the droughts are, which we're in Colorado right now, and how we modify our life around those things. Those things haven't changed, but now it's escalated.
Well, this, and, oh, sorry, continue.
Well, it's escalated, but when you are paralyzed by fear, or where you're in a position of saying, oh, there's nothing I do about it, so I don't give, you know, a damn, and that's it. You know, there's nothing more to do about it. But what's happening with people that have sight, people that are in tune, and I love that word in tune. It's part of my work and my book in Accutone. But the love of the word is also knowing the versatility of the word. In tune with your who's telling you what, you'll be able to decipher, as you do pretty well. Your discernment's pretty good there, Vinny. And what's being told you that's you know, a pile of crap, or it's something has merit. And weeding that out, what we need is people that are in the field right now of educating, is we have the ability of discernment, or we should be more capable on picking out what is valuable information in the media and really what doesn't have, you know, any value whatsoever and is intended to actually distract or distort or take your power away. To empower people means to take a clear, if you're focused enough, if you're able to understand what the problem is, you can pick apart anything. Are you following me?
Yeah. Well, there's a number of elements that I actually wanted to kind of explain here as well, because there's some good points that you're making. It's kind of like, what's the point of my show in terms of the comedic aspect? Well, look, anybody can wake up to the New World Order in any way, okay? If you wake up to the corruption in the church system and the pedophile rings or whatever, you'll wake up that way. If you wake up to the what's behind the green mask in Agenda 21, you'll wake up that way, and so on and so forth. Because there's infinite conspiracies, there's infinite ways to wake up to them and infinite ways to explore the connections. That's actually just step one. Realizing that everything that you've done in your entire life has actually been BS for a system that you never even understood even existed. That's really depressing. So that brings you on to step two. Deal with it. Learn how to deal with it, man. Some people commit suicide. In fact, Mike Rupert from thewilderness.com committed suicide. What was it, last week or the week after? That really made me feel terrible. I wept. I cried. I never got to interview him, and now I never will. His was the very first documentary that I ever saw when I was a student at university. The Truth and Lies of 9/11, his presentation, that was the very first thing that I ever saw that was actually connecting the dots and looking at the conspiracy. He learned it long ago. He'd been shot at, and he spent the last days of his life studying Fukushima and climate collapse and the collapse of society. Not exactly the least depressing topics you could ever conceive of, and boom, shoots himself in the head. Okay, this is what happens to us, all of us, if we don't have that perspective. This is why I interview so many different people from so many different walks of life, across every different subject and spectrum, because I know that if I start to get that tunnel vision, if I start to actually worry and perpetually add on more and more layers of stress and frustration onto the fact that I'm already a frickin' slave to debt and scumbaggery and what have you, I would probably hurt myself, and I would probably hurt others if I was a radio show host in the process, not helping people to deal with that stuff. Which brings you on to step three, learning how you, not everybody, because everybody says that they've got this we thing, oh, like, we need to do this, or if everybody didn't vote, or if everybody did vote this way, or something like that. Frack everybody else, okay? What are you doing personally? What is your skill? What is your mindset? What is your hobby? What is your past? What is your history? These are the things that make up the man or the woman that you are, and only you have that unique combination of elements that can contribute to this very fight to make a difference in the way we live in perpetuity, more or less. I want to have a permanent effect because I realize my power, because the people who I speak to in my daily life are people who know who they are as well. This is how I figured out how to make a difference, is to be sort of like the back line of the war. In the front line, you got people going out there with the megaphones and doing the protesting, doing all the research and what have you. Those are what I consider the real jobs in the truth movement. The back line, which is very important, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, but the back line, us in the media, it's making sure that those people who go out and do the real work get heard about, and also if they get damaged in the process of learning and knowing what they know, then it's our responsibility to help them deal with it if their perspective is out of whack. You see what I'm saying? Now
I do. What I hear is responsibility towards the collective. I heard it very plainly. First of all, deal with your own self, your own consciousness, your own responsibility, your own ideas, beliefs, whatever.
Deal but it's really hard to do that doing it by yourself, though. I mean,
that's
you,
right.
You always
that's,
need
and then what I heard is join forces with a collective because there's a synergy. There's a synergy that elevates everything.
To a degree, may I just finish? I have only one more thing to say. There's a quote from a movie called Starship Troopers. Figuring things out for yourself is the only freedom anybody really has. Use that freedom and make up your own mind.
We're going to break. Very intense conversation. Love it. Hope you love it. We're going to come back in just a few moments, and I'm going to let Dean kind of reset the course here. I have several questions, and perhaps I'll get a chance to ask them. Thanks for being with us, listeners. We'll be right back. Wow. We're moving. We are moving so quickly through the ether, through the deception, through the lies. We're moving in a way, listeners, that I hope you appreciate. We have a really extraordinary opportunity here. This is great stuff. And I'm going to turn it over to Dean once again because I want him to keep the conversation moving.
Indeed, Lorraine. Indeed. I have got a question for Am that when Vinny was finishing up there, he brought up the question that we had before about how a public, and grossly stupid in a lot of ways, much of the masses, and I'm not saying that in a criticizing way, it's just they're not aware that there's other ways of viewing things outside of media issues. But what they do play on is unresolved issues in us. How are we being directed? What is the motivation, and how is media playing off these unresolved issues, Am?
Yes. Well, okay, we have a inadvertent mass conspiracy of ignorance-generated, short-sighted, expedient compromises. And in other words, we have a system, both on the individual level and on a mass global level through every society, of imbalance. And where you have excesses here and deficiencies there, and the system can't run in harmony for the overall process. And most people live in apprehension of that. You know, they're bombarded with all kinds of possible economic collapses, no jobs, you know, diseases that are impending, wars, invasion. But there's nothing new in this. This is just part of the human condition. But all these things we do to try to break the tension, to get a little pleasure, to identify ourselves, to verify and validate, vindicate ourselves, come down to state of mind. So we're acknowledging you can't get out of a trap till you recognize there is a trap that has to be gotten out of. If you accept the trap as normal, then you adapt around it, which is what most people are doing. But once, what I'd like to give people, and I think that's what we talk about on this show, is I would like to give them the means to break free of all these age-old inherited subconscious bonds that have them so locked up and dizzy that are draining their energy, making it hard for them to function, to where you need the comedy just to blow off some of the tension that's accumulating in you. I'd rather see them laughing in joy. I can't believe it. Wow, that's so amazing. Rather than, huh, okay, yeah, wow, that's a little threatening. You know, if I say to you, gee, I'm really miserable and depressed and sad, you might get a little tense. I don't want to hear about that. But if I say, you know what I mean, as I said, comedy, the truth told with a sense of timing, then you laugh because, oh, yeah, I know what you mean. But the thing is, I always tell people when they come to me, I'm not going to make you aware of the things that hurt you, that, you know, are making you compromise, that threaten you, unless I have the skill, the technique, and the understanding to help you quickly and functionally resolve these things so you can move on. And I think that's the point of the comedy and the brilliant work that Vinny is doing, is to make the public aware that there's something there. Don't become fall asleep, but it's a threat. You're asking them to look at the things that hurt them, that scare them. So what I want to do, and I think what we all want to do in our various ways, is give them the means to attain what they want. So that they, whether they're in the midst of activity, you know, or whether they're partying or whether they're just sitting alone, they feel good. They feel clear. There's always more. Rather than getting away from something, which is one part of health, you know, you want to get away from the problem. It's hurting you. The other side is, how good can you feel? How safely and effectively can we up the ante? How much can we enhance the vitality, the mental clarity, and so that we can relate to each other, not from a place of, well, you know, if you do what I want, then you're a good guy. You get to wear a white hat, and if not, you're bad. All that childish nonsense, because that's a low level of development, to where we feel so comfortable and secure, we can move in and out. We can open up and exchange and really start to make things happen.
Listeners, we're wrapping up the first hour of today's program of Evolving the Species. We're here with Vinnie Eastwood, vinnieeastwood.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide. We're talking about humor. We're talking about how one man in New Zealand has actually managed to capture the attention and the imaginations of millions. We'll be right back. Welcome to the second hour of Uncommon Awareness. We are going to proceed right away with today's Evolving the Species Roundtable. We're here with Vinnie Eastwood, vinnieeastwood.com, The Lighter Side of Genocide. Our intention was to really talk about the magic, the healing effect of humor. We didn't call it that at the start. It's really kind of become apparent to me throughout the show that what we're doing is we've captured a young man who's basically down in New Zealand, trying to do the best he can to to carry the torch, if you will, of what he perceives as being, he thinks America actually has the best alternative radio. He doesn't know yet. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't, that he's probably some of the best alternative radio, that America, he supersedes America. And what we're trying to do is hold a conversation, hold a place for humor in our dealings with what's going on in the world. And it's just about that time when I turn it, my producer, my co-host for the program, Dean Lloyd.
Yes, again, thank you, Lorraine. I wanted to ask Vinny first, do you know who George Carlin is, Vinny?
Really well, yeah. I never got to meet him or anything, but yeah.
and almost everybody in our listening audience, I think, knows who this man is. He was, Bob Hope, another comedian, for his particular time in history, he was an icon. George Carlin, when I would hear him, he would say things that made me think, wow, I wanted to say what he just said, because I see where his perspective is and how absolutely ridiculous. He did a great skit on stuff and how, you know, you acquire stuff and you have to buy bigger places to put more stuff, and that you don't have room for the stuff that you just bought, you know, and this guy, and he started rolling with all these very common and very real perspectives that were just cracking me up. I loved it. And so, but what is interesting is he would say things that I said, you know, I was about to say that, or I was about to come up with it, or I thought it, but I never brought it into the perspective that he did. There's an art form into that, and an intelligence that sees how you can redirect way of operating from. And in some of the highest arts in martial arts, like in Aikido, it's about redirecting the energy. Then, in other words, if there's negative energy, it takes a very keen practitioner of Aikido, if you want to think of it that way, or someone who can understand how to redirect energy. Once you've got the art form, it becomes part of you, and you no longer need Aikido, or that goes for any other technique. because these techniques are meant to get you to a place of being empowered, so they're no longer worshipped. They never should be worshipped. They're just part of the process of getting to where you need to be. But what I wanted to do is bring in Vinny with his insight on how his role model initially had you gave it gave you some insight into how things could be done differently. What I wanted to hear from you is how you are different, or how it is that you started to realize, because maybe most of the audience knows who Alex Jones is, but what I'd like to hear from you is what did you start picking out was really valuable at that time, and how did you start to see what was needed in what you were trying to achieve?
Well, more or less, it was kind of like every single day I would listen to the Alex Jones broadcast. I'd see all his documentaries, watched out of his movies and things like that. And what they did primarily is they gave me the second stage of the grieving process, which is anger. Now, people don't realize just how valuable anger is, and sometimes they don't even realize just how damaging it is if you don't get off of that part of the grieving process. Like there's a number of different steps, and after the anger comes depression, right? And this is what happened. I would go from believing in the system 100%, even telling the cops the truth when I'd get busted and things like that. How stupid is that?
Oh, dear. I did, too, and I just got a speeding ticket, but go ahead, please.
Yeah, no. Yes, I'm a drug dealer. Yes, I've been selling weed for 8 months. Okay. What? I just told you the truth. You said you'd go easy on me. We're cops. We lie, all right? It's kind of what they do. But, yeah, you go from that kind of I love the government, I love the police, I'm honest to everybody and all of that kind of stuff, and you realize that you're wrong your whole life, right? And that's what you mentioned George Carlin, but I would have mentioned specifically Bill Hicks. He actually was a earlier influence of me, pre-Jones, more or less. Jones helped me to get in touch with my angry side. And as I was watching him and this great talk radio show host, this great documentary filmmaker, and I aspired to be like him, not him, because I'll never be anybody else, I'll only ever be myself, I was also looking at a number of other people, other sources of inspiration. So I looked at Luke Rutkowski, and he was going out and he was ambushing celebrities and politicians and things of their, you know, allegedly quote-unquote important people, and asking them real questions like the media bloody well should. And I thought, wow, that's really brilliant, that's really inspiring. And also at the time, this is when the Love Police were starting to gain notoriety, Charlie Veitch's Love Police in London, where they're doing comedy through megaphones. And so what I started to realize is that in terms of my natural elements of my personality, these characters are something that I started to actually mold myself into, not because I was trying to be something I wasn't, but because these people were helping me to realize in large part who I really was. I realized that I was angry and needed to rant every now and again and host a radio show like Alex does. I also realized that I was really, really keen on having fun whilst at the same time talking about serious stuff, just like Charlie Veitch would be doing. I really wanted to take the fight into the teeth of the very people who were enslaving us, like Rutkowski does. And at the same time, I wanted to laugh my ass off while doing it and help all the people that are watching me do it laugh their ass off too, like Bill Hicks did for me. So in a way, I've become sort of like a man's world sort of thing, you know, like, oh, it's a man's world. You know, you go out there and you do everything by yourself. You don't need anybody's help. You know, I have the documents. I'm sorry. I promised I would take your calls. You know, that kind of thing. You love it. Absolutely. absolutely love it. You can't get enough of it. And after a while, after copying these people's styles, that you then start to realize that you've actually got your own style that was sitting in there, kind of like gold just beneath the dirt. And these people will help me to scrape the dirt off of my soul so that I can realize who I truly am. And because of that gift to me, these people don't even know who I am, all right? But because of their, in Bill Hicks' case, posthumous gifts to me, I believe that it incurs a moral obligation upon my entire life so that I can pass on the lessons that they've given me, right? Now, one thing that I'm really, really differing across all of those people is my unfounded ability to just sit there, shut up for up to 3 hours and just listen to these people pour their heart and soul out, right? Nothing makes you crazier than knowing the truth, which sounds crazy, and having people call you crazy and not listen to you. You know, it drives you even more nuts. It's like, I'm trying to explain to you that stuff is nuts. I'm not the nuts one saying it, okay? Why does everybody listen to me? You know,
Vinny, the ability to sit there for 3 hours and listen to anything is your feminine power coming. Dean's going to cringe when I say this. Your feminine's leaking. Your feminine, it's our receptive ability.
Totally, darling. Totally.
Hey, so healthy, so necessary. Anne, help me out here.
Yes. Not the feminine part. I'm just thinking we're talking showbiz because we're showing our business. And Vinny was talking anger. Anger is frustration that has been capped. You haven't found a way to express it. It builds up and builds up until when it finally releases, it builds up with all the suppressed energy that you've been holding inside. It leaps out, and we call that anger. That's just built up frustration. The problem is if you don't know how to resolve these problems, then you feel stuck. Okay, now I've released the tension that's built up. I've exploded, but I'm still in the same place. So the question is, where are we stuck? You know, and we, to quote a simple lyric from Camelot, what else do the simple folk do to help pass the time when they're blue? They sit around and wonder what royal people do. Mm. That's what simple folk do. Gee, if I had superpowers because I was an extraterrestrial above mortal people, if I was an incarnated mythological god, if I was a mutant with superpowers, suppose I just happened to be a billionaire, or I had political power, or I was the most attractive person in the world, and I would get everything I wanted here, or I would secure this or the other. We're looking for ways of satisfying ourselves.
Can I make a point?
At the same time, out of fear and the frustration it builds up, we feel curtailed. It builds up a tremendous tension in us. You can explode with anger, which is just a way of releasing the frustration, or you can redirect it into looking at the truth of what you're dealing with and release that tension through laughter. There was a wonderful quote from an old Jefferson Starship lyric where it said, the tongue of a master, that should be laughter that takes like a guiding wheel for the weak and the sad man. So in terms of listening, yeah, Vinny is listening, but he's also coaxing. He's a good listener because he's coaxing people. He's created an environment for people where they feel free to release. Somebody's interested. Somebody wants them to express. That in itself is an art form.
Well, could I say something?
Leverage that with levity, which allows people to look at all these truths that need to be exposed. But since they don't have solutions, they can at least break the tension that's building up in their minds through the laughter.
Vinny, go ahead.
Well, it goes on to the point that I was making before about how not being listened to when you know a whole bunch of crazy stuff. You know, I mean, sure, it's crazy. It doesn't mean it's any less real, but not
Vinny,
being listened to
thought.
Is what stresses
break.
You out. Okay.
I don't want you to get cut off. When we come back, listeners, we're going to let Vinny share his thoughts on what Anne had to say. Vinny, please go ahead.
Yeah. Anne was talking about how you have to deal with the anger and – what I figured out is, and I actually figured this out in high school, is one of my abilities is actually to feel, like to really feel. I mean, I'm probably a lot more sensitive than most guys. I'm generally pretty perceptive as well. I have an ability to talk to people sometimes and kind of, it's almost like tuning into their frequency. Like I feel what they feel, I hear what they say, and I try to help them, right? I figure that radio is, as a host, in my perspective anyway, and this is how I run my show, is that it's a form of therapy, which means I have to take the responsibilities of being the therapist. Now, therapists, according to a lot of researchers, need to take about 3 to 4 months break per year, because when you're sitting there and it is your job to day after day take on the emotional baggage of all of these people that are coming into your practice with all of their problems, you actually get affected by those problems. If you hear
it's
about
empathy, you're empathic, yeah.
Okay, and because I'm empathic, it makes me really, really good at getting people to trust me, because I can I know how it feels to be them to a degree, and in so doing, they trust me much like they trust themselves. I had a in fact, here's a good example of that. We had Matt Bowden, who's a musician called Starboy. And he created artificial party pills, artificial cannabis in New Zealand. He was the very first person in the world to actually create synthetic versions of ecstasy and cannabis to be sold on a legal market, R18 and what have you. So naturally, he was demonized all up the wazoo by the media. They'll like interview him, and the media people will be all done up in their makeup, and they'll put dark lighting on him to make him look like some dark evil drug lord, when the reality is he's just a damaged guy who's had a really tough life and just happens to be a genius with chemical molecules and music. And that's the thing. I understood that within 5 minutes of speaking to him. This guy's a genius. Which means in our society, if you're a genius, two things will happen to you. Either A1, you will be recruited and then corrupted by the system, and they will use your genius for their aims. Or two, you use your genius for your own aims, and the system tries to hurt you, tries to make you stop believing in yourself, tries to shut you down. I am the antithesis of that in terms of a radio show host. So when he came into my home, he said, well, what's the kind of interview we're doing here? You know, like sort of like nervous. And I said to him, imagine for a moment that there's a person who you can spill your guts to, who you can tell all of the pain and hurt in your life that has really, really meant something. And they will not judge you, and they will be sympathetic to you. Okay? That is the interview we're about to do. And he was like, wow. And I heard the responses of people listening to this interview. They're like, wow, I never knew that about it. You know, he told us stories about he went on a plane, and one of his friends was taking really hard hallucinogens, and they started freaking out on the plane, trying to flip the doors open and things like this. You know, this is something that a person who's in the media spotlight here in New Zealand would never, ever say anything like this to a mainstream media reporter, because they just use it to demonize him. And what I did is I provided him a safe, happy platform for which we can have a few laughs and enjoy each other's company for a couple of hours. And that was precisely what it did. Because if your job is very serious, if it's about saving humanity, if it's about exposing scumbaggery, or whether you're a victim of scumbaggery itself, I'm here to help in any way that I can. And sometimes all that it really requires is somebody to just listen, so that you get the impression that they actually frickin' care.
What is the personal cost to somebody who chooses to do radio, who chooses to be, kind of be in the thick of things? And Vinny just shared really the empathy, the empathic nature of his being from the time he was a young child. And we want to pursue that, and I'm going to let Dean pursue that right now.
Thank you, Lorraine. It was a matter of creating safety for people. And I'm relating to what Vinny's saying. He's not always sure how people are going to respond to these interviewing. And when he brings up something that was so very real for it to be expressed, in other words, there was a real necessity to bring out this part of the guest that he had on. And if it wasn't, it wouldn't have carried any real relevancy or purpose. But what is being identified in what Vinny brought up is that how we are able to manage or deal with what is stressing us out. And it very often is the case where we get sucked in by the types of things that drain us. All right, what are we being drained by? And I want to have Am come in on this, because very much it's easy for us to hear the media where there's everything is about problems. You know, everything is about how it isn't working. Everything is about what to fear, what's the next phase of fear. You know, what's the latest statistic that proves to us that things aren't working? What medical statistic shows us that we're, you know, a screwed up culture? These paradigm shifts that we're talking about require insight into the person who's interviewing has to know that there is a way out of this. And it's not something that's sort of wiggled around and bypassing what's unresolved. We're talking about how to acknowledge someone's experience as having some value and then drawing out what it is that's appropriate in the circumstances that keep us empowered rather than getting sucked in. So what I identified several things there, what his point was, is that uniquely providing people a safe place is something that's not very, very often seen. It's like, okay, get on. It's time to perform. And yeah, well, if you're relaxed and you don't have anything to prove, then there's no need to defend yourself. There's no need, but it becomes so much more fluid and you get to bounce off of each other and start to see where you could take things. And there's an availability there where it's not scripted, you know, it just becomes open. But what you've just said, Vinny, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that it's given you the opportunity to let go of some of your preconceived notions and how things should look. Am I right?
It's more about open 100% acceptance, or at least feigning 100% acceptance. Like, I never bring somebody on my show to hassle them, to second guess what they're saying or anything like that. I just want to hear what they're saying, and then I'll make my own mind up after the interview, and I hope my audience views it the same way. Because there have been people on my show, and this is the reason why I'm able to do so many shows, edit them all and put them all up online by myself without a team or any producer or any help, more or less whatsoever, is because I don't research my guests. It is 100% right then, right there. This is the first time I've heard of you. This is the first time I'm speaking to you. Tell me who you are and what it is you do, and I will accept everything you've got to say throughout the entirety of the interview. And it's only in my own time after it, once I've had a bit of time to mull over the things that you've said, whether or not I make up my own mind to believe what you've been saying, take it on board, or to discount it as completely frickin' nuts, like saying that Alex Jones is Bill Hicks, for example.
Got it. That's different. I'll just put it that way. Most of us like to, because as being in the profession of the medical field and the healing arts, we're interested in doing the research so that we can create a foundation and a logical direction. You've taken it from a very free-form, impromptu type of position, which is a lot like a musician, you know, if they are comfortable, or a jazz musician. So maybe we should just start calling you the jazz musician of talk show.
Well, I am actually a musician, and the thing about my songs is that they all come up off the top of my head. I've got the improvisation skills like nobody's business. you know, it's kind of like it's been bought out of years and years of being a talk radio show host and doing stuff on the spot that I can now come up with songs and lyrics off the top of my head as well. I mean, if we could play one on the air, like our best song is a new version of the Happy Birthday song, but I'm not sure if we'd be able to play that. But it gives you an idea for how I sing and what I sing about. It has just as much meaning and strength as the things that I do on talk radio. And I think that music is more or less an extension of what we can cognizantly deal with. It's more about feeling than it is about thought for me.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought up music. It's one of my favorite topics.
And I'm so glad
you
brought
up. Am's about to sing to us a lyric right now, aren't you, Am?
Oh, well, I was thinking of a poem, but I could quote a few of my own song lyrics. But, you know, what we've been talking about, releasing tension and, you know, making a safe space, why are we in threatened and in danger to begin with? I kind of call this the whistling kettle syndrome. You put a kettle on the fire and the pressure builds up, it turns into steam, and it starts whistling. And if you take it off the fire, you know, let out some steam, it calms down. But if you don't know how to control the fire and you don't know have any place else to put the kettle, you keep going through this repetitively. Yeah. We're talking about releasing frustration. It comes out as anger. We're talking about a safe place. Where's the danger coming from? Well, why don't we feel safe, and why is safe to express ourselves freely? And then I would reiterate that true human security, real human security, comes from understanding how to access and control your mind, not suppress it, not escape it, not avoid it, not deny it. When you can move at will comfortably into your senses, your feelings, your thought processes, to any degree or combination you choose, only for as long as you choose, and when you can stay by choice exquisitely centered in an awareness of the moment without feeling compelled to react on those other levels, you have full access if you want to, then you have control. Then given a chance to play, well, you're no longer in danger. You're no longer afraid. You'll play for all you're worth. But if not, we wind up in a bartering situation. Okay, I'll open up this much and show you that much and touch you to this degree, but only if you open up that much and touch me in this way and to that degree, which cuts down the spontaneity that's involved in joy. Now, Vinny lends himself beautifully to creating a safe space for people to bring forth parts of their own exceptionality. But the problem is a lot of people are torn by their exceptionality because they've managed to gain insights, techniques that allow them to see past themselves or past the morass they've found themselves indoctrinated into. But they don't know how to get rid of the drag lines of their subconscious, and they feel haunted. Once you touch a more expansive state of being, whether it's dealing with something you've always dealt with, you just have a new variation, or you've opened up to a whole new level of access that's amazing to you, once you've touched it for even a moment, you're haunted by the fact that you now have neurological access, and you'll never be satisfied until what seemed like a new high point becomes integrated as a common part of your psychological vocabulary. You know, there's an old poem by Emily Dickinson I always liked. She went, "Much madness is divinest sense to a discerning eye. Much sense, the starkest madness, 'tis the majority. And this is all prevails, assent, and you are sane. Demure, you're straightway dangerous and handled with a chain."
Wow. Beautiful. So what a segment. I'd like to take a few moments and bring in Lorraine, just because she's been being very in and taking it all in. I'd like to get, if you have, because you can relate to where Vinny's coming from, being as a talk show host, and you do a lot of research, but what he's saying is part of the fun for him is being able to identify people for where they're coming from in an instant. How can you relate to that?
Well, thanks for asking. I was identifying with Vinny because one of the determinations I made in doing Uncommon Awareness was that there was no contention. There was no judgment. There was just simply, and the one thing I do that I think you know very well, Dean, is the guest is the gift. It's an honor. Any human being in my life is an honor, whether I choose to agree with them or not. maintaining an attitude, like Vinny, I'm a bit empathic. You and I, we've talked. it's hard. There's a lot of pain involved in doing this work. And I don't... Actually, Vinny, you've inspired me to maybe develop a greater sense of humor.
Well, that's the hope. I hear from you, and both of you correct me if I'm wrong, but you're starting to see yourself become more in the moment. As you know, Vinny's got some, he's got a talent. He's got an ability to see people right away and give them something to work with. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have a lot of places to go. Am and I would like to talk to him more in detail about
your trouble now, Vinny.
Some places and places. But that's okay. That'll come when it may. But what we're finding here is uniquely providing what most people don't know about themselves is that asking for what they need. You can say that to people.
Well, asking for what they need.
I need $1 million, or I need to win the lottery, or I need to have a better job, or I need, well, fine. But what is it that you're trying to get at? What is it that you're trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And these are the deeper questions that I believe Vinny is trying to ask. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. Here we go to break.
Yeah. Vinny, you're good. Yeah. These guys have been doing this for like a long time with me. They don't hear the music. Thank you for hearing the music. Listeners, we'll be back in just a few moments. We've really had an extraordinary opportunity. We've got a radio show host from New Zealand that is changing the way people think about media. He's on a mission to really replace the disgrace of mainstream media. We're wrapping up, and we didn't get through a lot of what we wanted to talk about today, but I'm going to let Dean take us out. I'm going to thank Vinny before we get towards the end of the show for being with us and thank him for who he is and what he does. Dean, go ahead.
Thank you, Lorraine. It's now obvious for me that what we're talking about is the future media, the future therapy, the future way of resolving problems. How are we doing this in the way that we're doing it? What I wanted to get is Am's perspective on where we're heading and why in the media, and what is the purpose of going in the direction that we are. We've already seen major strides in how, let's just say, where the people had not been aware of how to ask questions of what to do to resolve these problems that have been swept under the rug for so long. It's already leaking. There's no more room. It's already at that critical stage. Tell us where we're headed and where we need to focus on.
Well, we share the airwaves with one another, the internet waves, but basically what we're sharing are the mind waves. What's going on inside of you? Hey, I'll tell you what's going on inside of me if you tell me what's going on inside of you, but how can I be sure you're telling me? We have a hunger to grow. It's a natural part of us. You know, evolving the facilitating of our human potential, unfolding it, you know, going from the seed to the full blossom potential of what we are. And the thing is, the more we do that, the more unique each of us becomes. Nobody else can be you. You have the market cornered on you. The question is, if you're trying to be you, then you're like everybody else that's trying to be like who they think they are. You want to feel comfortable, at ease, and relaxed. But we have personalities. Personalities are the persona. They're the mask that stands up in front of you. You don't know these people. Do you know yourself? And they become a focal point, a distribution center for ideas, for ways of looking at things. If you're touched by something someone says, well, you couldn't recognize it in them. unless it was within you. So we're awakening each other. Where we're going to a whole new level of operative consciousness, where all these stressors, all these fears and anxieties, guilts and shames, the confusions that have plagued us and hurt our bodies functioning, both individually and the body politic, is going to be finished. It's going to be understood. The blockages are going to become released. And we're going to start to function the way we've always wanted to, which will in turn open up whole new levels and ranges of motion we've only stutteringly stumbled into and dreamed of so far.
And Vinny, with that, give us your future.
Well, I'll probably be enslaved and exterminated under Agenda 21, to be honest, but the...
But as I say,
just because you're being ruthlessly enslaved and subsequently exterminated by a bunch of ruthless, criminal, psychopathic, demon entity motherfuckers doesn't mean that you can't have a little bit of fun, you know. So in the meantime, I'm just going to basically do what I keep doing, because if you have a look at how a military operation works, there are those who go to the front lines that kill the enemy and defend the innocent and defend the weak, and those who are on the backyards who are cooking the food and healing those soldiers after they come back from the front. I tend to sit with a foot on both fronts, but I'm primarily on the backyards hoping to help those who are currently awake and fighting, keep them alive and keep them awake so that they don't go back to sleep.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, listeners, I hope you've enjoyed the program. It's really been an extraordinary opportunity to hear about, you know, what it's like for one radio host who's having, he's just coming on the scene. He's bursting on the scene with who he is, what he believes, and what he does. And Am and Dean have done a fabulous job of helping us sort out all the things that are involved in really understanding the truth. This is our edition of Evolving the Species, blah, blah, Evolving the Species. We'll see you on Monday morning, same time, same place. Thanks for being with us.